Hello, friends. Hello, colleagues. Hello, listeners. Hey, welcome to the Platinum Business Break Podcast. Hey, in this week's episode, it's Season 4, Episode 10, The Way Business Should Be, Part 14. And the title of this one is Prioritizing the Well-Being of Team Members. Yep, that's right. I'm going to talk about it. I'll talk about something that I don't think we talk about enough. And again, this is sponsored by the 45 Plus Life Coach. Again, the 45 Plus Life Coach was designed to help that 45 Plus individual kind of navigate all these new challenges, you know, new technologies, upskilling, reskilling, maybe some health advice, maybe some life hacks. So we are here to help that 45 Plus demographic. Actually, it's really good for any demographic, but we kind of focus on the 45 plus. So with that, we're going to jump right in. This is The Way Business Should Be, Part 14, Prioritizing the Well-Being of Team Members. And kind of how this came about is probably about last summer, you know, almost a little over a year ago. I was on a cruise ship, and the boat did a maneuver recalibrating its compass. So I thought, you know, I need to recalibrate my compass. And really what I got down to is started writing down, what do I believe in? And I'm talking about business. What are my core beliefs? What are the things that drive me in business and how I think things should go? You know, basically just kind of a core belief. You know, that way as I navigate, you know, different business situations, I want to run it through a filter. So I started recording these probably about 26 points, you know, call it my manifesto. And so this is number 14. Yeah, I can't believe that. Well, already up to number 14. And this one, again, I think this is another aspect of business that a lot of business owners, a lot of leadership teams, they ignore, prioritizing the well-being of team members. And again, and I'm going to give you some statistics that's going to blow your mind over the different types of generations that are working in the workforce and the different things that they face. So this is going to be pretty interesting. All right, so we're going to jump right in. Okay, so importance and impact of mental well-being in the workplace. The World Health Organization reported depression and anxiety disorders cost global economy $1 trillion each year in lost productivity. This statistic underscores the significant impact of mental health issues in the workplace. Wow. Number two, the American Psychological Association. And this report highlighted that employees with high levels of stress are more likely to experience lower job satisfaction, increased absenteeism, and decreased productivity. Stress, a major factor in mental health, directly affects the employee's ability to perform optimally. I think we all know that. The Harvard Business Review study, okay, this one found that when companies invest in mental health programs, there's a return on investment of $4 for every $1 spent due to the reduced absenteeism and increased productivity. I can believe that. All right, the Gallup poll. Okay, this is the State of the Union Gallup poll, and I went over this one a few podcasts ago, so if you want to really do a deep dive, listen to that. You know, look back on Spotify or YouTube or, one of the other podcasts. Channels. I'm on all of them. So look that up. It's the Platinum Business Break Podcast. So I cover that in greater detail. So basically what it said is that employees who are engaged have good mental health and are 21% more productive than their counterparts who are not engaged or suffer from poor mental health. This statistic highlights the positive impact of mental well-being on the employee engagement and productivity. And again, the statistic is basically this. 20% of employees are engaged. That means they like their job. They're happy to be there. 80% are disengaged. And what that means is they're just doing their job. So that right there, if you're a business owner, that statistic should keep you up at night. All right, number five, the Mental Health America Workplace Survey. And it found that 63% of employees reported that workplace stress had a significant impact on their mental and behavioral health. Employees who reported good mental health also reported higher levels of productivity and job satisfaction. Now, look, I could go on and on and on. I think we can all agree that, you know, mental health, you know, well-being should be a priority in business today. So the next thing I really want to go over is like recognizing and addressing mental health issues. And again, as a people manager for many, many years in my 35 plus year career, I don't really recall getting any specific training on this topic. You got the training on how to do reviews, annual reviews and stuff like that, and how to discipline. But when we're talking about the mental health, it's very, very, very hard to talk about that. I think people are still uncomfortable talking about mental health issues, and which is a shame. So again, hopefully this podcast will shine some more light on that. So recognizing early warning signs, identifying changes in behavior, mood swings, and reduced productivity as potential indicators of mental health issues. Number two, Promote open communication. Encourage an environment where employees feel comfortable discussing their mental health without the fear of stigma or judgment. Man, that is so important, because I think in today's world, especially post-COVID, people are more willing to admit, hey, I got to have a few days off. And I think management and leadership should encourage that, okay, without fear of stigma or judgment. All right, number three, provide training. Offer training programs for managers and employees to recognize and respond to mental health concerns appropriately. Again, I mean, think about, you know, like active shooter training or something like that. You know, someone gets terminated or some, you know, someone's had a bad week and they come to the office and bad things happen. So I think training to recognize that before it happens is very, very important. Number four, access to resources. Ensure that employees have access to mental health resources such as counseling services, employee assistance programs or EAPs, and wellness programs. You know, we're going to talk about exercise in a little bit, because that plays into this as well, and eating right, getting plenty of sleep. All right, number five, flexible work arrangements. Implement flexible working hours or remote work options to help employees manage stress and work-life balance. Now, I'm going to talk about work-life balance in a little bit. I think it's just balance. But I think, you know, again, since COVID, it's opened up the door for people to have this flexible work or work at home or work remote. And I think that really helps a lot. All right, number six, foster a supportive environment. Create a culture of support by regularly checking in on employees and offering peer support programs. You know, this could be just as simple as, hey, don't wait till the annual review to have a conversation with someone. You know, if you're a people leader, talk to someone once a week, every couple weeks, and hey, how are you doing everything? Just a little quick one-on-one, see how they're doing. And also, you know, peer support programs, what would that be? That might be like if you got a new employee, assign them to a tenured person, a buddy, to help them, you know, kind of relieve some of that stress of being new. Because if you've ever been new at a large organization, it's pretty scary. All right, number seven, promote balance. Again, I didn't say work-life balance. I'm just going to call it balance. Encourage employees to take breaks, use their vacation time, and disconnect from the work outside of office hours. So a couple of things here. You know, Americans typically do not use all of their vacation, which is sad. I would use every minute if you can. And then disconnect from work outside of office hours. And on this one, I've got some friends who work with various companies. And for a long time, they had just one cell phone. It was the company cell phone and their personal cell phone. And a lot of them, when they got a second cell phone, I know that's a headache. But if you have a personal phone and then a business phone, you can turn that business phone off at 5 o'clock, keep it off on the weekend. That is the best thing you could do for your mental health. And that is balance, my friends. All right. Lead by example. That's number eight. Managers and leaders should model healthy behaviors and openly discuss their own mental health practices. Now, you know, on this one, I don't disagree with this, but I think this is more of a one-on-one, and managers and leadership can be vulnerable that way. I don't think you get up in front of the whole company with a box of Kleenexes and start crying. And, you know, I think people want to see strength. They want to see stability, but I think it's absolutely okay, you know, on a one-on-one or small group, just say, hey, yeah, you know, I COVID was tough on me too. And, you know, I went through some things, but or whatever. And then maybe explain how you got through it. So that's kind of my thought. And I'm probably gonna get some mail on that or email, but okay, whatever. Number nine, provide mental health days. Allow employees to take mental health days without penalty to address their well-being. Now, this kind of goes back to the other one, stigma. You know, maybe don't call them mental health days. Just have flexible days they can take off with no explanation. You know, just say, hey, this Friday, I'm not going to be here. And that's all you need to say, you know, because just, you know, that extra day off may make all the difference. All right, number 10, regularly review policies. Continuously assess and update workplace policies to ensure they support mental health and well-being effectively. Again, this has to be not just something the HR department does. This leadership has to be involved in this. I'm talking, you know, the C-suite, VP level, directors, managers. It's everyone's responsibility to make sure that mental health is a priority within the company. So just don't dump it on your HR folks. Okay, they're not experts on that either. All right. So here's one. This is going to kind of, I think this was kind of surprising to me. So I'm going to give you some numbers, some stats here on mental health issues affecting each generation. So again, it doesn't, you know, mental health issues are different for each generation. We all have our are different things that bother us in different levels. And it's actually, this is going to be quite interesting. So let's talk about baby boomers. That's the oldest group in the workforce. They were born 1946 through 1964. You know, sometimes they put 65, but that's, you get the gist. Approximately 20% experience mental health issues, you know, depression and anxiety. It's related to life changes such as retirement, loss of loved ones, and physical health issues. You know, and again, the anxiety is just the, you know, hey, do I have enough money to retire? And, you know, just healthy. You know, every time you go to the doctor, you feel that ache or pain. You know, those of you who are younger, you won't understand this, but if you're in that baby boomer generation, you know, every new ache or pain, you know, uh-oh, is this it? Is this the bad news? So there is anxiety with that, especially if you're still working, because a lot of baby boomers are still working. They're working a lot longer than they have to because, one, they want to work, and two, they need to work because their 401ks, their retirement just was not very good. Suicide rates have been increasing in this group, particularly among men. I thought that was very, very surprising. All right, let's talk about Gen X. The Gen Xers born 1965 through 1980. So around 25% of them experience mental health problems or issues, you know, stress and depression, balancing work, family, and financial responsibilities. And a lot of these issues are linked to career pressure and personal life challenges. Also, this is the one that kind of blew me away, substance abuse. Higher rates of alcohol and drug use compared to other generations for this group. Wow, that was very surprising to me. All right, let's talk about the millennials. Okay, that's born 1981 through 1996. About 30% report mental health conditions, anxiety due to economic uncertainty, job market instability related to financial struggles, career uncertainty, and social isolation. And then burnout, common due to work-life balance challenges and high expectations. Now, if you'll notice, the percentage of people reporting mental health issues is increased since the baby boomers. So check this one out. So Gen Z, born 1997 through 2012, this is going to be the youngest group in the workforce. Over 40% report mental health issues, anxiety driven by academic pressures, social media, and global issues such as climate change. Depression often linked to social isolation, cyberbullying, and high expectations. Suicide rates rising, with suicide being one of the leading causes of death in this group. Now, that one blew me away. I mean, because that's, you know, that's my kids. My kids are in that group, and that just, I was shocked by that. But if you notice, all the reasons for the anxiety and depression are different. I mean, you know, we see, you know, especially as baby boomers, we see cyberbullying, and we, you know, kind of scoff that off. But, you know, that's a real thing. You know, just in person, as, you know, in fact, it's probably worse now, cyberbullying, because everyone sees that activity. So there's more people, you know, participating in it. So again, what I'm saying is every generation has different types of issues and you have to be aware of it, all right? Self-care practices for team members. Now, companies obviously should provide the right environment, the right culture, the right resources, and help people when they can, where they can. But I do believe that at some point, the individual, you got to take some personal responsibility to say, hey, you know, some of this is on me, because, you know, you got to feel good about yourself. And I always tell people, you know, my priority is my mental and physical health, you know, even before my family, because if I'm not right, I can't be right for them. I want to be 100% for my family. All right. And then for my career and what I do every day. So part of that is self-care. You got to prioritize on self-care. And a lot of people think, oh, that's selfish. No, it's not. If you are taking care of yourself, you got to be able to take care of yourself before you take care of anyone else. All right. That's all I'm saying. So the first one is regular exercise. You know, why? Physical activity is crucial for maintaining overall health, reducing stress, and boosting mental clarity. And how would you do that? Integrate regular exercise into your daily routine, whether it's a morning jog, yoga session, or even a short walk during breaks. And again, I think this is one of the big things that has helped me out, especially since COVID, is exercise. And again, I was never really a big exercise guy, but those who know me personally, you know how early I get up, and I go to the gym 6 days a week. Sundays typically the rest day, but you know, it makes a difference. I'm telling you, I feel better. I can handle stress a lot better than I could before. And paired along with that is healthy eating. That's number two. Proper nutrition fuels the body and mind, enhancing productivity and preventing health issues. So, you know, how does that work? Balance meals and healthy snacks, attend nutritional workshops, or request healthy options in the workplace. Again, when I worked in office years ago, you know, the donuts, oh my, donuts and candy, that's the one that got me. I was a sucker for donuts or candy. You know, you have people have a little candy bowl at their desk. So all I'm saying is healthy eating. You know, again, I've really changed my eating habits. You know, I don't eat a lot of the stuff that I used to. Again, you know, all this processed food, and it's just not good for you. I try to eat, you know, to the source and try to eat natural. You know, I'm not saying don't you know, enjoy food, but, you know, just everything in moderation, right? That's all I'm saying. Here's the third one. Again, adequate sleep. Sleep is vital for cognitive function, emotional regulation, and physical health. So good health hygiene is, you know, basically companies can, you know, educate their employees on the importance of consistent sleep schedule and finding a work culture. And you need to find a work culture that respects personal time and minimizes after-hour work demands. Sleep is so important. You know, again, I think everyone's a little bit different. I mean, I know some people, they can function on 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Hey, I'm an 8-hour guy. You know, I could go 10, but, you know, 8 hours, you know, will probably do me pretty good. So you got to get plenty of rest. It's for your physical body and for your mind too. All right. Number four, mindfulness and stress management. Mindfulness practices can significantly reduce stress, increase focus, and improve emotional well-being. And you know how you do that? You attend meditation classes or get access to stress management resources like apps, books, and seminars. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine recently. You know, he watched something on Netflix, and it was basically just kind of a documentary on movie star, a guy named Jonah Hill, and he was talking to his therapist, a guy named Stutz. So yeah, the movie is called Stutz. And it was very intriguing, and it was just really some good practices, you know, to make you, you know, one is, what are your triggers, right? You know, what's triggering you? I mean, that's the thing. And that's, to me, that's the mindfulness. When we say mindfulness, that's what it says. Mindfulness means, you know, what is the trigger? You know, if you know a person or a situation is going to trigger, you've got to avoid it or be prepared for it. So again, I think that is just, you know, that's, you know, how do you, you know, stress is a constant. Okay? We're not going to not have stress, but how we manage it, how we deal with it. And part of it's not dealing with the past and not being too much in the future. It's being right now and dealing with it and finding out what triggers you and what you could do to either, you know, defuse those triggers or disarm those triggers or not let them bother you. I know, easier said than done. I get it. Number five, balanced life. Okay, shifting the balance. Again, I'm not talking work-life balance. It's all balance. Sometimes you're going to be more, you know, focused on work. Then you're going to come back to your personal life. Okay, but I think what you have to do is you have to learn how to know when to start shifting that around. You know, there's a time to say, hey, no more work. Work is done. You know, set boundaries, take regular breaks, utilize a vacation. You want to find a culture where taking time off is supported and valued. And, you know, the expectation is not to answer emails after hours or on weekends. Okay, that's all I'm saying. All right, that's it. That's all I got. And this episode is The Way Business Should Be, Part 14, Prioritize the Well-Being of Team Members, Season 4, Episode 10. And again, I hope this helped. I hope this was good information. And again, I just wanted to, you know, bring this to the forefront because it is such an important topic, you know, especially for all of us during these times. So, you know, we're in a political year and we're in election year. You know, these are crazy times. So I think it's very, very important to, you know, be cognizant of that. Again, help your team members out. If you're a people person, you know, be kind because you just don't know. Everyone's going through something. That's all I'm saying. Everyone, from the CEO down, they're going through something. You just don't know. So be kind. A little kindness is not going to hurt, and you know, just be nice to each other. That's all I'm saying. All right, that's all I got. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next time. Bye.